We've been talking about Carl Rogers over the last few programs, Rogerian psychology. And fortunately, I can't put this all in one program, so hopefully you can get a hold of the prior programs. You're only getting the portion on each one. I'm just explaining the application of the dialectical process in counseling, in facilitated meetings. If you sum up Rogerian psychology, it's basically two phrases or two stages. It's open-ended environment, which is not God. God is not open-ended. He's closed. There is right and wrong. There's accountability and responsibility. But Rogerian psychology is humanism. It's a third force psychology. You know, lots of terms are used for this. Synergistic process, continuous improvement, sustainable development, all kinds of terms come from this praxis or this practice. But we'll pick up where I just left off with this idea that Roger says, well, we don't want any belief. Well, it is a belief. They have a belief. Humanism is a belief. See, religion is that which is sacred, and sacred is that which you cannot question. You can't question the process. It's interesting that the process requires that you question everything except it. And if you happen to question it outside of humanism, see, you're in a cycle, because if you have to accept the terms of humanism as your basis, then you end up always coming back to humanism. You cannot accept any voice, any command outside of common human experience or non-human experience or supernatural experience. And so if they can get you into the how do you feel, what do you think environment, which is always the language that takes you to the environment for the solution, then you can never get out. See, that's why Jesus would not dialogue. He preached, he taught. That's all he did, preached and taught. Now, do we dialogue? Well, there are times we dialogue. Color of the carpet, we can dialogue. You can have feelings, you know, you can have thoughts. But when it comes to what God commands, if there's any discussion, it's we go back to the Word of God and we weigh it from the Word of God, what God says, not what man says, not men's doctrines, but God's. Then continuing with Rogers, he says, and this is from his book, On Becoming a Person, do we dare to generalize from this type of experience that if we cut through deeply enough to our organismic nature that we find that man is a positive, see, not God, top down, positive is common, and social animal. This is the suggestion from our clinical experience. So the whole idea of social animals, animal C, stimulus response, Pavlov's dog and B.F. Skinner's chickens or Thorndike's chickens and Skinner's rats. That's all you are. That's all the world is. We're just materialist, you know, just material stuff. And you can even bring in the religion, because all the religions of the world are tied to the creation. That's why God's first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, because he is not tied to the creation. He created it. And he loves, for God so loved the world, he loves it, but he's going to judge it. But he sent his only begotten son that whosoever individual, whosoever believes on him, should not perish, because that tells you what's going to happen, but should receive life everlasting. But see, Rogers rejects that. And counseling, Christian psychiatrists, you can say, well, I believe in Jesus. And no, you don't. You don't believe in Jesus of the Bible, because Jesus of the Bible will not dialogue. And if you go in and you say to your client, your customers, well, how did you feel and what do you think? You're not preaching and teaching. You're not telling them this is... See, that's what the father does. The dad comes in and says, son, you're doing what's wrong. I told you to do it this way, you do it this way. Now, the dad could be wrong. Dad and mom aren't perfect, but the office is, see? And so the office comes with accountability and responsibility before God. We're all accountable. And so Rogers then continues with the intent to destroy the traditional home. That's the only purpose for counseling, is to destroy the patriarchal paradigm. It's spiritual, because God is patriarchal. This is the suggestion, he writes, from our clinical experience, that man is nothing but a social animal. See, we try to create a relationship with man in which he is safe and free. See, safe from what? Safe from right and wrong. Safe from judgment. And free to what? To be spontaneous. Free, you see, from commands that interfere with your spontaneity. That's what he's meaning. That's all Satan did. He allowed Eve to be spontaneous, free to share her feelings. But I'll die. And he said, oh, you won't die. We can dialogue. Because if you would die, then you wouldn't feel safe. Safe to question authority. Safe to question God. Safe to question your parent. And therefore, you wouldn't be free. You wouldn't have this sense of spontaneity. Then he says, to accept man as he is, to create an atmosphere of freedom, say freedom from godly restraint, in which he can move in his thinking and his feeling and his being in any direction he desires. I'm just quoting, this is psychology stuff. But you see, you cannot do counseling today without this praxis right here. This really sums it up. You have to create an environment, an atmosphere of freedom, which a person can move in their thinking and their feeling and their being in any direction they desire. That's not God. That you won't find this in the gospel. The individual in such a moment is coming to be what he is. He is experiencing himself. Eve, she desired to touch the tree. That was the environment triggered that. That was in her. And now she's looking at the tree and she's going, well, there's nothing wrong with the tree. That was her perception. So the environment triggered the desire. She looks in the environment. She's using her head, human reasoning, and she justifies correctly, by the way, if you're going to go materialism, if you're going to go to the dialectical process, she was absolutely right. There's a way that seemeth to be right unto man. The language of science is seems to be. And so she was looking and she was finding the law of the flesh. That's all she found was the law of the flesh. She was absolutely right. Gets an A, 100%, 4-point student. But she died in that class. Because the Word of God became irrelevant. The relevance of God's Word is negated in psychology. I hope you hear this. It's negated. Do you find the Ten Commandments, God's definition of the healthy? You want a holism. There it is. That's God's definition. And all the law does is say, you're wicked. You're dead. You're dead in your sins. You ever see that in a psychology class? They're supposed to study the soul. No, God's definition of the soul, that's the standard. And the only purpose of the law is to tell you that you're wicked. You can't do it. Because you're flesh. And therefore you look for a savior. You look to Jesus. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. He's your redeemer. And they say, well, no, wait a minute. I bring that in. I bring about Jesus. No, you're on two foundations. And there's only one with God. There's only one cornerstone. And you're stumbling over it. Because you want the approval of men. You got a piece of paper. See, you spent a lot of money in college foolishly. But you love it. You love the flesh. And you glorify in the flesh. That's your profession. Oh, wait a minute. I love children. You're a pedophile. Because you enjoy the sensation that comes from them. He said, well, you're being too harsh. Doesn't a father love his children? Yeah, but you know what the father does? When the child's wrong, he chastens them. Well, doesn't he ever sit down and dialogue with his children? Sure, there are times. And you explain with your children. And you discuss. When my children did things wrong, I said, come here and we'll discuss your behavior. I didn't dialogue, because dialogue means you're equal. You step out of your office for dialogue. You have to step out. And that's all you're trained in. You're training in psychology. You're training everybody, the parent, the children, everybody to step out of the office authority. Every child has an office authority. And that child, when they're following themselves, is how it works. Your child's following the dopamine, following the pleasure. You come in and say, no, you can't do that. Well, self loves the pleasure of this life. And so you're training your child to get control over themselves. They have an office. You're training them, 2-year-old, that they have an office. Get control over yourself. Rule over yourself. Because if you don't, I will. See, I can't get to self. You get to self. But I can get to you. See, that's a patriarchal paradigm. The whole purpose of psychology is to destroy that paradigm. There's no other way. I hope by hearing this, when you look at this material, you'll understand. That's what your profession is. Your profession is a foundation of apostasy, of abomination, of the world, all that's of the world. If you love the world, you can't love God. Now, you see, God loves the world, but see, God loves the world, He's spirit. You love the world, you know what? You're flesh. That's how you love the world. And so you take psychology, well, all you're finding in psychology is you're obese. You know, you can't go out. Well, I ought to be able to. You can't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, at least I ought to be able to touch it. See, that's your foundation. That's your core. Your core is flesh. And you're trying to synthesize flesh with spirit. You're deceived. And you're deceiving everybody else who comes under your influence. Deceived and taking pleasure. Why are you taking pleasure? Because you're getting kudos from it. You're probably getting paid. And then you go, oh, you get that group hug because everybody loves their flesh. You can even do this in Jesus' name. And so Roger's saying, he has experienced himself. You know how you experience yourself? Prostrate before God. Here's how the elders experience themselves before Christ. They take the crowns that they just received and cast them back to Him. We deserve nothing. Is that how you counsel? You learn to the youth in there and you say, you know what? You deserve nothing. Turn to dad and mom. You deserve nothing. But it's all by the grace of God. You're accountable before Him. The next breath you take is a gift from Him. Everything you've had in your life is a gift from Him. Everything you will ever receive is a gift from Him. No, you don't do that. Now you say, oh, can't we all just get along? And we need to just do a little group hug here and go into the counseling stuff. How do you feel and what do you think? And get them all doped up on dopamine. Group hug. Does it work? Sure it does. Do people get along? Sure they do. Broad path to hell. You think people are miserable going down that broad path? No. They're getting along. They're doing the world thing. And then Rogers continues in this paragraph I'm quoting. He says, the individual increasingly comes to feel that this locus of evaluation lies within himself. See, and so your salvation is now found through self-esteem. Then Rogers goes on. He says, we can choose to use our growing knowledge. See, all these years of practice of counseling. You know, we talk about The leaders of the nation talked about transparency. Well, folks, it's you ever been in a room where they, you know, I've been in psychology and they'll have that one-way mirror? That's transparency. They can see you can't see them. And so they're constantly evaluating. This is the map. The dialectical process is the mapping. It's the spectrum. Are you over here, right, wrong, black, white, fundamentalists? Or are you over here, processed? Or are you in midstream transition? Still got some residue left on you that got to wash off, some residue to wash out of your brain. So he's saying here, we can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before. In slavery. You know, the flesh will make you a slave. The whole world. Why will the world follow the Antichrist? Because the Antichrist justifies the flesh, the laws of the flesh. And if everybody's doing it, then it's okay. If as long as I can get something out of you and you can get something out of me, that's carnal love, then it's okay. But if somebody comes along and they get something out of us and we don't get anything back from them, see, that's capitalism. You got to get rid of them. That's how that works. They call it love, agape. No. You know what that is? This whole thing is eros. And then it comes along beside agape and finds in agape that there's some things in common, like, you know, feeding people and you bond and then you take over agape and you cover eros with agape. See, so I call it in one my civil disobedience article, I call it cross-dressing. That's all. That's Marxist waltz. Comes in and finds you. Do you realize Marxism built on the heart? Caring, we care about you. We care about your children. It's all counseling. We care about your children. Can't you create an environment where your children are just loved? And see, God says He chastens those He loves. But no, not in this process. No, we got to bond and we got to, you know, just deviate or, you know, direct that dopamine. Don't cut it off. Don't get them off the drug. Just make sure that they're on a drug in a healthy mode. The environment stimulates the drug, dopamine, pleasure. And so we have to create an environment that's a healthy environment. See, it's all about environment control. And so, what's an unhealthy environment? It's you comes in and quotes the Word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. The most unhealthy environment for globalism, humanism, socialism, psychology is Jesus telling the devil, it is written, it is written, it is written. The Antichrist cannot rule. So, isn't it logical that if you can talk the church out of it is written, it is written, it is written, and get it into how do you feel, what do you think, the Antichrist can rule with the apostate church. No problem. In fact, the apostate church will persecute the believer who keeps saying it is written, it is written, it is written. Call him a fundamentalist, a religious extremist. So this is the slavery. They're possessed. The seventh level. See, the person is fixed. He's processed. So he says, with his growing knowledge to enslave people in ways never dreamed of before, depersonalizing them, controlling them by means so carefully selected that they will perhaps never be aware of their loss of personhood. Isn't that wonderful? He's boasting. He's bragging. Then he talks about being openly and freely in relation to others. Well, no, that was the last stage. Individuals, he says, move not from fixity through change to a new fixity, though such a process is indeed possible. I shared this last week. He said, that's not normal for a person to move from lost to saved. He says, but it's a continuum from fixity, right, wrong, which God gives you, which is faith, to changingness. There's no faith in changingness. From rigid, right and wrong, righteousness, structure, to flow. I'm okay, you're okay. From status, this is the way it is, what my father commands, that's what I do, to process. As I shared a few programs before on Abraham Maslow, Maslow said, the first thing I do with authoritarians, now Jesus is an authoritarian. Again, what my father commands, that's what I do. He who does my father's will in heaven is my brother, sister, mother. That's an authoritarian. He says, the first thing I do with authoritarians is break their backs immediately. I'll put them on the cross. Do you understand every Christian, quote-unquote Christian psychologist, has to put every believer on the cross? Cannot not do that. That's the profession. That's the call. They have to move them from status, from on the solid rock, and move them over to shifting sand, which is process. And Rogers, by the way, was very frustrated because he was looking at this nation. These were Marxists. Yeah, Carl Rogers was a Marxist. Transformational Marxist. That was emerging in Freud and Marx, social psychology. He says, what we need to learn, it seems, are ways of gaining acceptance for humanistic, person-centered venture, not Christ-centered, not parent-centered, in a culture more devoted to rule by authority. That's from his book, Freedom to Learn. And then, oh wow, this is again from his book on Becoming a Person, A Therapeutic View of Psychotherapy. Rogers writes, in psychology, Freud and his followers have presented convincing argument that the id, that's your impulse, your mimesis, your desire to bond with the environment, man's basic and unconscious nature is primarily made up of instincts which would, if permitted expression, if we allowed the children to do this, just do whatever they felt like doing. If we allow this in the church with everybody, how do you feel? What do you think? It would result in incest, murder, and other crimes. They're playing with this. They're saying, we're going to let this Pandora's box out because that's where the real you is found. The real you is not in any command higher than you. The real you is not in the Holy Spirit. And there are those, by the way, who are going back to the law in Jesus' name, falling from grace, because they're trying to get rid of incest, murder, and other crimes of human nature. But they can't do it, because Paul says, with my mind I love the law of God, but who's going to deliver me from this body of death? It wasn't in the law. All the law can do is tell me where I'm wicked, that I am wicked. And then he says, in Jesus Christ, the last part of chapter 7 in Romans. But so Rogers is admitting that Freud understood that this id is incest, murder, and crime. It's interesting that to Jonovitz, who set up the COPS program, community-oriented policing, he says, we must use crime, to gain access to the community. And so here's exactly what Roger said. The whole problem of therapy as seen by this group, he's included, is how to hold these untamed forces in check. See, this id, which is incest, murder, and other crimes, in a wholesome and constructive manner, rather than in... Now, how are you going to control incest, murder, and crime? You're going to have to legitimize murder, abortion, euthanasia, incest, pedophilia, bestiality, foundation, by the way, of psychology. Psychology is built on homosexuality. Again, check out my website, authorityresearch.com. It's a lot of reading. You know, I actually, on the last article, I'm concerned because, you know, there's too many scriptures for Christians, and definitely too many scriptures there for the secular, and it's too heady for the secular, and probably too heady for the Christian. And so, but if you bother to trudge through it, You will get these quotes. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just showing you what these are, what the guys are saying. Liberals come to meetings and they get upset with me. The only thing they can say to me is that they don't like me. They can't find no fault in what I'm saying because I quote their guys. This is their guys. This is Rogers. Every teacher, certified teacher in your community that goes to that church is trained in how to use a process that supports incest, murder, and crime, supports abortion, supports euthanasia. Terry Shriver, it's supported. Get rid of her. She's a waste of money. That's what this mindset is. Incest is simply that children have touch, taste, sight, smell, sound, sexually active, can't procreate. And so as long as we create an environment where the father doesn't come in and say, that's polymorphously perverse, and set standards that interfere with the child's natural, carnal, human nature. And one of the popular authors today in education, this is coming from the top down, is Freer. He passed away, but his material is key to where this nation is going. And he said, any act by a parent or teacher that prevents a child from their natural inquiry into nature, see, their inquiry into nature, is a criminal act. So it's not a criminal act that the child would do incest. It's a criminal act that the parent would prevent the child from being himself. That's the dialectical process. And Satan was telling Eve by the process, God's the criminal because he doesn't allow you to relate with that which will not hurt you. That tree in the tree of knowledge of good and evil didn't hurt Adam and Eve. There was nothing wrong with the tree. Physiologically, there was nothing wrong with the tree. According to Satan, see, God's command was irrelevant. But see, that is where the problem comes. God's word, God will not be mocked. His word is relevant. You will be judged by his word. The community will have nothing to say. Why are you concerned about how anybody feels or thinks about you when on the day of judgment, it won't matter, period. It's what God says. Does he know you? And how does he know you? You're a child of his. And how are you a child of his? He chastens you. He's coming back for a pure bride. Are you pure and spotless? Or are you hanging on to the flesh, doing your thing in the name of Jesus? But Rogers goes on. He says, the whole problem of therapy as seen by this group is how to hold these untamed forces, this carnal force, in check in a wholesome, constructive manner, rather than in a costly fashion of the neurotic. In other words, we got to get around these parents who are teaching their children right and wrong. And that's all counseling was. That's all from kindergarten all the way up. That's what the whole thing is about. Preschool now, from conception to death. It's all this process. The Antichrist loves it. Antichrist can rule with the apostate church, dialectical church, enlightened Christians. Then Rogers boastingly says in On Becoming a Person, we can predict from the way individuals perceive the movement of a spot of light in a dark room whether they tend to be prejudiced or unprejudiced. The prejudiced is those who follow Jesus. Prejudging. Righteousness. Now, I'm not promoting race prejudice, but I am saying that God is prejudiced. He's a jealous God. You do it his way. Then he says, we must accept the fact that some kind of control of human affairs is inevitable. Inevitable. So they're saying, oh, we want freedom. We want the kids to be free from this patriarchal home so they can be in touch with themselves. And then he turns right around and says, we need control. We cannot use this good sense in human affairs unless someone engages in the design and construction of environmental conditions which affect the behavior of men. So if we can control the environment, are you listening? If we can control the environment and remove from the environment small business, anything that creates a right, wrong, black, white, sheep, goats, heaven, hell, biblical structure of thought, then anybody who looks into the environment will be freed from godly restraint and the language of godly restraint. And his thoughts, his mind, his feelings, and everything about him will be free to participate in the world system. That's the whole purpose for government schools. Any Christian school that's certified, that is its structure. It might have some residue of patriarchal people around, very frustrated, because they don't realize that they have moved from solid rock, the Word of God, onto shifting sand, the process. And then Rogers writes, we can choose to use our growing knowledge to enslave people. I already said that. Let's see. Then he quotes Walden 2. He says, now that we know how positive reinforcement works, that's dialogue, and why negative doesn't, that's chastening. See, the heresy article is dialogue, patriarchal is chastening. We can be more deliberate and hence more successful in our cultural design. We can achieve a sort of control under which the controlled, change the environment, you control the people because they are in love with the environment, stimulates pleasure, look into it for more, and we say, well, it's okay. Though they are following a code much more scrupulous than ever was the case before. Don't we have more rules than ever before under the old system? Nevertheless, they feel free. Why do you feel free? Because you're doing what you feel like doing. Now, that's how you make slaves. They're doing what they want to do, not what they are forced to do. That's what parents do. That's a source of the tremendous power of positive reinforcement. There's no restraint and no revolt. Well, that's the broad path. Who would object to the broad path? It's group hug. By careful design, we control now not the final behavior, but the inclination. See, the lust of, you're drawn away by the lust of the flesh. And so they create the environment that says, oh, it's okay. That's the enticer, the seducer that does that. The motive, desires, and wishes. He says the curious thing is that in that case, the question of freedom never arises. You'll never know. You just lost. Well, we're out of time. I probably have to do another program on Rogers. I was hoping to finish up this week. But I'm going to leave you with this. Check my website out, authorityresearch.com. My name is Dean Gocher. And trust in the Lord with all your heart. The more we go into this, you should be practicing this anyway. That should be your practice. Trust in Him. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Let Him be the one who directs your paths.